From Spark and Anvil and Math Circle. This is Cast Check in Chapter 1 of the Math Circle cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The library basement smelled of old paper, damp floorboards, and the faint, sweet scent of pencil shavings. Under the steady hum of the fluorescent lights, the four of them were slowly losing their minds. Devi tapped her pencil against her chin, leaving a small gray smudge of graphite just below her lip. Omar was practically sliding under the heavy oak table, his chin resting flat against the cool wood. Tess and Bram stared down at the spiral notebook that lay open between them like an enemy. On the page, a messy forest of scribbled numbers had grown around a word problem about a fish tank. If the tap drips at exactly 1 cup per minute, Bram muttered in a flat voice, how long does it take to fill the tank? They had multiplied and divided, filling 2 entire pages with messy columns of scratchwork. They were tired and they wanted to go home. 300, Omar said, refusing to lift his chin from the cool surface of the table. It has to be 300 because we multiplied the 50 by the 6. 300 what? Tess asked, her pencil hovering over the blank answer line. Minutes, Omar said, not looking up. Let's just write it down so we can go before my bus leaves. 300 minutes, Devi repeated, writing the number down with a sense of desperate relief. Sure, done. Next problem. A soft, polite throat-clearing sound came from the tablet propped against a stack of heavy dictionaries. On the screen, a girl with messy dark hair and a faded green sweatshirt leaned toward her camera. She had one eyebrow slightly raised, looking at them with a mixture of amusement and gentle pity. Hang on a second before you write that down, she said. Her name was Cass, and she was dialed in from 3 towns away. Even through the screen, she always felt like she was sitting right at the table, leaning over their shoulders. Before you finalize that, Cass said, does 300 actually make sense in the real world? Omar groaned and buried his face in his arms, muttering that they had been on this page for 40 minutes. I know you're tired, Cass said gently, but I never trust an answer until I've checked it against reality. Think about it. 300 minutes is exactly 5 hours. That means 5 hours to fill a small fish tank from a regular kitchen tap. She tilted her head, watching their expressions. Have any of you ever actually waited 5 hours for a tiny tank to fill? You could go to the movies and eat dinner, and the fish would still be waiting in a dry bowl. The table fell completely silent. The steady hum of the library lights suddenly seemed much louder. Devi looked down at her paper, then glanced at the small plastic tank sitting on the science shelf. No, Devi admitted slowly. That does seem like an incredibly long time for a small tank. Exactly, Cass said. The number might be wrong, or it might be right and just surprising. But we don't actually know until we ask whether that number is believable. That's why we use a sense check before we move on.
Cass leaned closer to her camera, her eyes bright with interest. The background behind her was a bedroom wall, covered in detailed sketches of bridges and bicycle gears. Here's my entire job, she said. Everyone gets so relieved to get an answer that they forget to look at it. They do all this careful work, make one tiny slip with a pencil, and write down something ridiculous. A person who is 400 years old, a tank that takes 5 hours, a single slice of pizza that costs $1,000. And they write it down anyway, because they're just incredibly glad to be finished. Tess rubbed her tired eyes with the back of her hand. But we followed all the steps, she argued. Sure you did, Cass agreed. But math is only as good as the numbers you feed into it. The calculator doesn't know if your starting numbers are completely wrong. She grinned, her expression warm and full of dry humor. When I was your age, I lost so many points on math tests for this exact reason, Cass said. One test asked how many school buses were needed for a field trip to the science museum. I did all the division perfectly. I calculated that we needed exactly 2.5 buses, and I wrote it down without even thinking. Omar let out a sudden dry snort of laughter. 2.5 buses? He asked. 2.5, Cass
Cass said, nodding. I didn't stop to picture it for even a second. If I had pictured it, I would have known how ridiculous it was. Imagine a yellow school bus sawed right down the middle, driving down the highway. It was completely impossible. But I was tired and wanted to be done, so I just wrote the number. Ever since that test, I ask myself if the answer matches the real world. Could this actually happen in real life? Bram frowned, tapping his worn eraser against the edge of the table. But our calculations gave us 300, Bram insisted. We did all the multiplication correctly. The math did exactly what you told it to do, Cass agreed. But a sense check catches the ingredient that went wrong. Let's look at the numbers you started with.
The four of them leaned back over the messy notebook, squinting at the columns of numbers. The page was gray with pencil smudges and a thick dusting of pink eraser crumbs. Okay, Tess said, tracing her finger along the messy lines of their scratchwork. The tap fills one cup a minute. That part of the problem is written right there in the textbook. And the tank holds... Omar squinted at the paragraph, his voice trailing off. Wait a minute. He stopped completely. He looked at the top of the page, then stared down at their scratchwork. We wrote down 300 cups, Omar said, his voice suddenly sounding very quiet. But the problem actually says it is a small fish tank. 300 cups is huge, Devi said, her eyes widening as she pictured it. That's like a bathtub or a giant plastic trash can. Omar flipped back to the previous page in his spiral notebook. Oh, I see what we did, he muttered. The 300 cups was actually from problem 4. That was the problem about the giant backyard rain barrel. We grabbed the wrong number from the top of the page by mistake. So what does this fish tank actually hold? Cass asked from the screen. Tess read the printed words of the problem very carefully. It holds 60 cups. Redo your calculation with 60, Cass suggested. They did not even need to use the scratch paper this time. 60 cups at 1 cup per minute, Devi said. That's 60 minutes. 1 hour, Bram said, looking up, to fill a small fish tank. He looked at the empty plastic tank on the shelf, then down at his page. He did not look annoyed anymore. He just looked surprised. That actually makes sense, Devi said, smiling a little. That is completely believable. And 300 minutes never was, Cass said softly from the tablet. Your calculation steps were perfectly fine. The starting ingredient was just wrong. Only a little bit of common sense could have spotted that mistake.
The circles stared down at the newly corrected answer of 60 minutes. The number looked clean and right on the page. Do you see what just happened here? Cass asked. You were 1 second away from writing down that it takes 5 hours to fill a small tank. It was not because you are bad at math. Your calculation steps were absolutely perfect, but you grabbed a completely wrong number at the very beginning of the problem. Tess looked down at the yellow pencil in her hand. We were just so incredibly ready to be done with the homework. Everybody always is, Cass said, her voice warm and understanding. That is exactly when the mistakes sneak through. It happens when you are tired and the answer is right there. A quick sense check costs you only 10 seconds of your time, but it saves you from confidently writing down something that cannot possibly be true. She tapped her finger against the screen, right where their paper would be. You did not just get the right answer today, Cass said. You caught the wrong one yourselves before anyone else could see it. That is a completely different kind of good. Devi nodded slowly, a small smile appearing on her face. It felt kind of great, actually, catching it ourselves. It is the best feeling in the world, Cass said. It is way better than being told you are wrong later.
The library was closing for the evening. The librarian was already stacking chairs at the far end of the room, the metal legs scraping loudly against the linoleum. Omar and Bram packed their backpacks quickly, eager to catch the late bus home. Davy waved goodbye to them as she headed toward the stairs. Tess stayed behind for a moment, slowly zipping up her heavy backpack. The tablet screen was still glowing, Cass's face bright in the dimming basement room. "Can I ask you something?" Tess said, her voice dropping to a quiet whisper. "Sure, go ahead," Cass said. "Doesn't it feel kind of negative to always doubt your own answers?" Tess asked. She pulled the sleeves of her sweater down over her cold hands.
Doesn't it feel like you are always looking for what is wrong? Cass shook her head, a warm smile spreading across her face. I used to think it was negative too, Cass said. I felt like I was constantly telling myself I was not smart enough, but it is actually the exact opposite of that. I check my answers because I want to trust them. Tess paused, her hand on her zipper. An answer I have not checked makes me secretly a little nervous, Cass explained. I am just hoping it is right. But an answer I have checked that makes sense in the real world is different. I can actually stand on that answer. The checking isn't doubt at all. It is how I earn certainty. She reached up and tucked a stray lock of hair behind her ear. And here's the part I really love, Cass said. Catching your own mistake before anyone else does is not embarrassing. That is pure power. It means you don't need someone else to tell you when you are off. You can tell yourself, kindly, and then just fix it. Tess nodded slowly. She said goodbye and tapped the screen to turn it off. The walk home from school was cold and quiet. The sharp autumn wind blew dry leaves across the concrete sidewalk with a scratching sound. Tess pulled her heavy winter jacket tightly around her shoulders. She thought about the fish tank that took 5 hours to fill. She thought about the yellow school bus sawed right down the middle. For the first time, she did not feel the sting of having been almost wrong. Instead, she felt the quiet, sturdy pride of someone who could catch herself. She could trust her answers because she had earned the right to.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Cass Check. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.